Krishna, Krishna.
The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, text number 13, given by His Holiness R.P. Bhakti Raghav Swami Maharaj, recorded on November 14, 2019, in Hyderabad, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Sri Sarabhyaya Namaha. Om Sri Sarabhyaya Namaha. Om Sri Sarabhyaya Namaha. Mukham karoti vasaram pangum langayate girim yad kripa atmaham bande sri gurum dinataranam yad kripa atmaham bande sri gurum dinataranam. Hare Krishna. We are continuing Srimad Bhagavatam reading from canto number 1, chapter number 2, text number
1-3.
Correct. As always. 1-3. Another very interesting verse. This is, divinity and divine service. Ataha.
Ataha.
Pumbhir. Dvija.
Srestha.
Varnasrama. Vibhaga Saha. Sanustitasya dharmasya samsidhir hari toshanam ata pumbhir dvija shrestha varnasrama vibhagashaha Sanustistasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam atha pumbhir dvija shrestha varnasrama vibhagasaha Sanustistasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam Ata pumbhir dvija shrestha Varnasrama vibhagasaha Sanustistasya dharmasya Samsidhir haritoshanam Atha pumbhir dvija shrestha Varnasrama vibhagasaha Sanustistasya dharmasya Ramsidhir haritoshanam Atha pumbhir dvija shrestha Varnasrama vibhagasaha Sanustistasya dharmasya Samsidhir haritoshanam Atha pumbhir dvija shrestha Varnasrama vibhagasaha Sanustitasya dharmasya Samsidhir haritoshanam ataha So, pumbihi, by the human being, dvija shrestaha O best among the twice born, Varnasrama, the institution of four castes and four orders of life, Vibhagasaha, by the division of svanusthitasya, of one's own prescribed duties, dharmasya, occupational, samsiddhi, the highest perfection, hari, the personality of Godhead, toshanam, pleasing. Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Yes.
O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to the caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Kindly repeat after me, O best among the twice born.
It is therefore concluded
that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Purport. Human society all over the world is divided into four castes and four orders of life. The four castes are the intelligent caste, the martial caste, the productive caste, and the labor caste. These castes are classified in terms of one's work and qualification and not by birth. Then again, there are four orders of life, namely the student life, the householder's life, the retired life, and the devotional life. In the best interest of human society, there must be such divisions of life. Otherwise, no social institution can grow in a healthy state. And in each and every one of the above mentioned divisions of life, and the next portion, the rest of the line or the sentence is in italic, means we must hear it attentively. The aim must be to please the supreme authority of personality. The supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. This institutional function of human society is known as the system of varnashrama dharma, which is quite natural for the civilized life. The varnashrama institution is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. It is not for an artificial domination of one division over another. When the aim of life means realization of the absolute truth is missed by too much attachment for indriya priti or sense gratification, as already discussed herein before, the institution of the varnashrama is utilized by selfish men to pose an artificial predominance over the weaker section. In the Kali Yuga or in the age of quarrel, this artificial predominance is already current. But the saner section of the people know it well, that the divisions of caste and orders of life are meant for smooth social intercourse and high thinking self-realization and not for any other purpose. Herein the statement of the Bhagavatam is that the highest aim of life or the highest perfection of the institution of the varnashrama dharma is to cooperate jointly for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13. Translation again, O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the personality of Godhead. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how all over the world, not only in India, Prakriti is not only in India. The modes of material nature are not only in India, they're all over the world. So if the modes of material nature are all over the world, that means that the four natural social divisions that we call varna, the four varnas are also existing, although it may be, and it is actually largely unknown to most people. therefore, this system of varna and ashrama, which is referred to both in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, is meant to be the norm, the standard in human society. It is not an end in itself. The perfection of life is not to establish varnasrama. The perfection of life is to properly utilize the natural, ordained system of varnasrama to ultimately realize the absolute truth. And here specifically it mentions haritoshanam, the perfection of the system of varna and ashrama is to please Krishna, is to remember Krishna, ante narayana smriti. So that's why we find explanations given by our acharyas whereby they will make statements like, when it is unfavorable for practicing Krishna consciousness or pleasing the Supreme Lord, varnashrama principles can be put aside. But we should not falsely conclude that we just put everything aside and minimize the importance of the varnashrama system. In certain cases, and I would say generally they are exceptional, we can avoid the system of varnashrama, or maybe more accurately said, we can avoid certain aspects of the system of varnashrama. Actually, the whole system of varnashrama cannot be avoided because, number one, it's created by Krishna, as we know, as reminded in the purport also by Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita. And also, that is how the modes of material nature function. According to one's previous activities, one has a larger influence of the mode of goodness or a larger influence of the mode of ignorance or passion or mixture. So that means that actually the primary purpose and goal of the varnashrama system is to facilitate, isn't it, to help individuals and to help society as well to advance in Krishna consciousness. It is meant to be used as a tool. It is Krishna's created social arrangement especially for those who are, for different reasons, not able to take up pure devotional service. The whole arrangement of varna and ashrama is to gradually bring people from the lower modes of nature to the higher modes of nature. Just like we say, we were reading this verse about Jnanam and Vairagyam, just yesterday or the day before, how by the practice of bhakti, actually the practice of bhakti especially, helps or facilitates our acquiring or developing transcendental knowledge and facilitates our ability to become more detached from the material world, isn't it? So there are other processes also where one cultivates knowledge and learns to become detached, but the special feature about the practice of bhakti or devotional service is that it is built in. More easily one will acquire knowledge, one will acquire transcendental knowledge, and one will learn to become more and more detached. And something we is not actually mentioned here, but the human arrangement or social arrangement whereby the system of varna and ashrama can more easily and more completely be practiced is within a village setting. That's why villages are so important. That's why we hear from our acharyas how Vedic culture is primarily, and we repeat this again and again because it needs to be repeated, Vedic culture is primarily agrarian culture. You know, like Prabhupada would repeat all the time, we are not this body. Because it just takes us a long time to realize that. We know it theoretically. So in a similar way, we need to hear again and again that Vedic culture is primarily an agrarian culture. And agrarian culture means where we're not surrounded by all kinds of material facilities and so-called improved higher standard of living, like such buildings here, where we're surrounded by all kinds of, you know, similar buildings that don't leave any space to keep cows or to grow food. And so we're forced to do all kinds, we're forced to take up what ends up being actually a more complicated and more artificial lifestyle. And the effect of that, of course, is that all of our interaction, our relationships amongst ourselves becomes adulterated, different. Because we are forced by this artificial arrangement to give more time to material things. And even though we may not want to, we end up giving more priority, more emphasis to adjusting things materially, forgetting the real and primary goal and purpose of life. Just like these wonderful cell phones by which we can have this recording today. They have their use, but actually when we look at all the different aspects of cell phones, they are more destructive than anything. If we begin to analyze all of the different modern, so-called advanced facilities that modern-day society has created, in the larger context, or looking at the bigger picture means, actually, where do we want to go with all of this? We want to go back to Krishna. We want to become self-realized. But when we become overly preoccupied, means we become entangled with all kinds of material considerations, then naturally that diminishes the time, not only the time, but also our ability. The very important realization to have, actually, that the more we are caught up with technology, the more we are caught up with machines, we are living in the age of machines, then the more difficult it is for us to to develop in a more natural human way, and more difficult also it is for us to develop in a spiritual way. So therefore, modern day setup, just like, of course, two main messages that are being given here, of course, is that number one, it's like taken for granted. Prabhupada is like, the verse and the purport is like taking it for granted that actually the natural and ideal system is this system of varna and ashrama. Because everyone is influenced by these modes of nature, and everyone by nature falls into one of these categories. So that is the first important instruction here, is that actually, although unknown, again, to most people, this is the system by which society is meant to be organized. That's number one. Second point, and the most important point, is that within that system, regardless of our position as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, or regardless of which ashram we belong to, all the members of each varnas, all the members of each ashrama have the main, primary, and same goal of pleasing Krishna. So pleasing Krishna means knowing what is dharma, ultimately, because Krishna and dharma is none different. Dharma means, the essence of dharma actually is, Prabhupada explains, duty. What is our duty? Duty, or original nature. Dharma also means original nature. Our original nature is to love Krishna, isn't it? And therefore, anything which obstructs this natural ability that is within all of us to love Krishna is therefore an obstacle that we should be doing away with, because it is impeding our natural goal and purpose of life. So therefore, the more we understand this, naturally we should take steps to make this happen, isn't it? I mean, Srila Prabhupada, for example, wanted that we establish self-sufficient communities whereby this natural interaction between individuals can take place for, again, the purpose of serving Krishna or pleasing Krishna. This verse is often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. In the very beginning also, something that Prabhupada, again, explained, Atha Pumbhir. Pumbhir means human being. Just like the other verse in the first canto also, Savai Pumsham. Pumsham, Pumbhi, related. So, Savai Pumsham Paro Dharmo, Dharma. Dharma is meant for everyone. Same thing is being made here. This system of varna and ashrama is meant for all human beings. All those who want to be recognized as civilized human beings. There are different levels of consciousness in terms of human beings. So to be civilized means to actually follow the system of varna and ashrama. It's a very important verse, and these are some of the points. This institutional function of human society is known as the system of varnashrama dharma, which is quite natural for the civilized life. So if we read this backwards, if we don't have varnashrama dharma, it means we are uncivilized. Something good to reverse the sentence, you know. Yeah. Those who don't follow dharma means, as Prabhupada would explain in other places, means they are animal. Yeah. Dharma is a special and very unique quality and ability that is there in human beings. Animals don't even, they cannot understand. But human being is especially meant to come to that position of understanding and applying dharma. And dharma, we were mentioning yesterday actually, how very important for those who are Vaishnavas also to understand this point that Prabhupada makes on many occasions, how the spiritual dharma and the material dharma. We cannot just be absorbed in spiritual dharma and forget material dharma. otherwise it creates an imbalance. And this is the present situation in the general society, because both of these dimensions of life are totally unknown for the vast, vast majority of people. So at least they should be understood properly by those who are devotees, because it is given to us in the pages of the Bhagavatam. if we hear the Bhagavatam regularly, if we hear attentively as well, we will understand this need of balancing these two things, which is also contained in this purport. Prabhupada is telling, this is the natural material system, order of life based on varna and ashrama. So that's the material dharma, material svadharma. In other words, material svadharma, the material, natural, and original activity or occupation for everyone is to be found within the system of varna and ashrama. So that's on the material level. Then on the spiritual level, Prabhupada is making this point and putting it in italics as well. The aim, regardless of where we are within that system, and in each and every one of the above mentioned divisions of life, Prabhupada says, the aim must be to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. Yes. In one place, actually, Prabhupada makes the statement, which is also mentioned here, just like in the purport, the Varnashrama institution is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. So Prabhupada makes this point in other places as well, whereby he explains that he goes to the point of telling that actually the system of Varna and Ashrama is necessary for one to advance in Krishna consciousness. We can say that it is not absolutely necessary, but generally it is necessary. That difference we have to make. Because when Prabhupada went to the West, and some devotees make that argument, well, you know, the initial first devotees, they knew nothing about Varnashram, but they started chanting Hare Krishna. So it means that Varnashram is not necessary to become a devotee. But we should not conclude prematurely on this point. So it is true that absolutely, in the absolute sense, Varnashrama is not absolutely necessary to become a devotee and to go back home, back to Godhead. But for the vast majority of people, Varnashrama is necessary to facilitate one to actually become a devotee. Why? Because the system of Varnashrama is built or constructed in such a way, arranged in such a way, that it is more easily helping, facilitating one to come to the mode of goodness, isn't it? To work towards the mode of goodness. And of course, beyond the mode of goodness, because generally it is only when we become situated in the mode of goodness, as also explained in the Bhagavatam, evam prasanna manaso, that verse, isn't it? Evam prasanna manaso, when one's mind becomes prasanna, peaceful, then at that time one can engage nicely in bhakti. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. So many verses are there supporting one another and supporting this whole ideology of the absolute necessity to organize society based on these principles of Varna and Ashrama. And these principles of Varna and Ashrama and the basic principles of spiritual life, actually both spiritual dharma and material swadharma, are especially taught in Gurukula, are especially the subject matter in Gurukula. And that's why when we don't have Gurukula, means we don't have access, we don't hear, we don't understand properly or sufficiently about these principles of both Varnashrama Dharma and Bhagavad Dharma. Material Swadharma is Varnashrama Dharma. Spiritual Swadharma is Bhagavad Dharma. And they go hand in hand. Just like we're sitting here, we're only sitting here because these two things are there. The soul is in the body. If the soul is not in the body, we're not sitting, we're lying down. And we are unconscious. So we have this combination of matter and spirit within us. So therefore, logically, we have to balance these two things, the matter and spirit. Krishna explains in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita how this is actually in the chapter entitled Knowledge of the Absolute, the second verse is actually giving that definition of what is knowledge. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyam yasheshataha yaj gyatva neha bhuyo nyaj gnatavyam avashishyate. Prabhupada translates, I shall now declare, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. So phenomenal actually has to do with matter. Phenomenal And numinous has to do with spirit. So in other words, in the purport, Prabhupada will elaborate how actual knowledge, complete knowledge, perfect knowledge, is knowing about matter and spirit, and knowing how to balance these two things. Now, modern-day society knows nothing about spirit and also knows nothing about matter, or is working on all kinds of erroneous premises, wrong theories, in terms of how to deal with the material energy. And we see the whole of society is very heavily disturbed because of malpractices on these two levels. Okay. So any comments or questions on this verse? Yes.
It's very important verse, and according to the, there are three things. One is duty, one is spiritual duty, and one is material. One is dharma, spiritual dharma, and material dharma. There are three things explained here.
Actually, go ahead.
Yeah. Dharma means one's occupational duty. One has to do his duty, that is dharma. And material dharma, according to my understanding, I am the one working for my one of the organization. I have to take care of my wife, I have to take care of my children, I have to take care of my father. That comes under my material dharma.
You have to take care of Krishna's servant who is in the form of your wife. You have to take care of, you know, other members of your family who are actually members of, material. That is material dharma.
Material dharma. As a spiritual dharma, I have to love my Krishna.
Yes.
That is spiritual dharma.
But why do you make a difference between dharma, material dharma, and spiritual dharma? Material, there is dharma means, on the one side, material dharma, and then spiritual dharma.
Oh, yeah.
So there's basically two things.
Yeah.
Two things. Otherwise, this becomes confusing.
Yeah.
Dharma is, in other words, we cannot live outside of dharma, either spiritually or materially. There must be that connection with dharma. And there is information and a very detailed, both are very profound sciences. The science of spiritual swadharma is the greatest of all sciences, isn't it? And the science of material swadharma is also a major science, both of which require proper education, proper training. And the whole Vedic culture provides that training and education to all the members of society. But as we were discussing yesterday, for some members there is formal education, whereas for others there is non-formal education. But everyone receives education connected with dharma also. Because all material activities that we must do, because we have to do something materially, must be approved or in line with the material dharma as explained in the Shastra. Example, and Prabhupada reminds us of this in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. Naturally, especially for householders, economic concern is there. You know, we have to provide for the family. As you mentioned, you have a wife, a kid, parents, like that. But what is the ideal? What is meant to be the ideal way to meet our necessities of life, or what is the perfect formula of economy? That is given in the Bhagavad Gita, which we have deviated from in modern day society. Krishi Guraksha, isn't it? Krishi Guraksha Vanijam Vaisha Karma Swabhava Jam. So Prabhupada was mentioning in the early, you can hear it in some of the early lectures that Prabhupada gives, like in New York, when he went to America in 1965, 66, those early lectures Prabhupada is telling, because he's talking to an audience that know nothing about India. So very often he'll give examples about India, or you may not know. Then he will make statements like, in India, 90% of the people live in villages. That was like 50 years ago, which is not the case today. 90% of the people living in villages means that actually 90% of the people are connected with agriculture, are living in, are having cows and growing their own food and living localized and whatnot. That is actually meant to be the standard. We've deviated from that standard by introducing, and therefore, of course, majority of our devotees also are caught up in this, and it presents all, a whole series of challenges and complexities, etc., like that. So the point being made here is that we as individuals, and especially as a society, we need to move away from what has been artificially created. For the time being, as long as we are in there, we do the best that we can. As Prabhupada would say, make the best use of a bad bargain by having this body or by being caught up in the modern artificial, system of life. But we should be making an endeavor to actually bring back, reintroduce, because the present system is on the wrong track, is on the track of actually destruction. You see, it is not at all sustainable. It cannot continue, and it will not continue also. And the vast majority of people will become totally shocked and devastated when the system stops to function. When the water stops to come in the tap, and when you cannot get water from your local supplier, then what do? Most people will freak out, as we say. They will not, We have examples of that in some countries where, I forget which country, somewhere in South America, where...
Cape Town.
No, crisis with water. But there was one place where somehow the government could not supply to people a toilet paper. In America, they use toilet paper or other kinds of paper, like towels to wash, whatever. So everyone was going crazy, we don't have any paper. So we become so conditioned to doing things with the modern kind of facilities and arrangements that are there, all of which are actually artificial. And the more we depend on those, the more, we become more vulnerable. Therefore, whole Vedic culture is teaching us this more simplified lifestyle where we don't depend on things, especially that are artificial. We depend ultimately on Krishna, and we are aware, and we continue to learn and to study. That is our main focus. What does it mean, this dimension of spiritual swadharma, and what does it mean, the material dimension of swadharma? And we learn to perfect both of these levels with the aim, primary aim, as mentioned in the purport here, of how to please and to remember Krishna. Yeah. Naturally, when people don't believe in Krishna, it makes it difficult to even talk about these things, but that's a reality. So, did you end up asking a question, or? Okay. Yeah, just one second.
Actually, this, as per the Varnashrama system, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaisya, and Shudra.
Yeah.
According to the government policies, that equalization.
Yes.
Everybody should be equal.
Artificial.
And in the normal population is that Brahmans are more, rather than, after that Kshatriyas, then Shudras are very lean people, and least people and caste people. So, in that, they were not understanding this overall And that part in the government and in local public
right.
is difficult to...
It is, yes, because there's been a lot of abuse of the system.
So how to balance this one?
Yes. Okay, your question is, okay, because nowadays the policies in India and around the world is towards equalization, equity. You know, yeah.
Social equity,
giving, you know, everyone is equal opportunity, etc. and our experience, which is what you're saying, the experience, especially here in India, has been that the system of Varna has been flawed, and so many people have abused their positions, and those in the lower echelon have been... exploited in so many ways, etc., etc. So, yes, the system becomes polluted when those, especially in higher positions, misuse that situation and begin to exploit those in, we can say, the lower echelon.
Yeah.
But lower echelon is only materially, even that. But spiritually, that's why when Prabhupada explains or speaks about Daiva Varnasram, everyone is equal, isn't it? We may have different material duties and responsibilities, but in spiritually speaking, everyone, even materially speaking, Prabhupada says, although in one sense the legs are more important than the head, but without the legs we can't move. Without the stomach we can't digest, isn't it? So every part of the body is important. We cannot minimize, but there is a level of importance as well, the head being more important than the other parts of the body. So this needs to be gradually explained, and it can only be accepted or understood by those who purify their consciousness, isn't it? So... that's why the whole, you know, these instructions all begin with the point of Srinvatam Svakata Krishna. People need to hear from Shastra so that they can begin to purify their consciousness and learn to understand and to accept that actually this is created when individuals within that system follow the system, then everyone benefits. There's no one that in the ultimate issue that is higher or lower, because everyone is a servant of Krishna ultimately. Now it is very rare that Venkat asks a question. So, did you just raise your hand for scratching your head or for a question?
His question is that there are four varnas.
Yes.
Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra.
Yes.
To this protect these four varnas, we need one Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas.
Yes.
And in the ISKCON, we are creating the Brahmanas and Vaishyas.
Well, we have... Anyone who is in a leadership position is considered Kshatriya. Yeah. So we have many persons who are in leadership position. Temple president is meant to be like Kshatriya. Those who are organizing the society, they also Kshatriya. In our society, very often one will play both the Brahmana Kshatriya role. But there is a need definitely to bring in or to increase the Kshatriya aspect of the society. And I think maybe that's his question.
Mm.
His perception is that we give a lot of importance to Brahmanas, and then Vaishyas, well, we don't have that developed very much actually also. So there is a need for Varnashram to be introduced and to be followed. There is a definite need to introduce a Kshatriya culture. And that's a standing order given also by Srila Prabhupada. So we are also looking for Kshatriyas. We, in introducing Gurukula, we need to simultaneously train up Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, not only Brahmanas. Because if we only train the brahmanas, then brahmanas won't, you know, they'll have all this knowledge, but nobody will be there to execute it. So they'll become frustrated. Or some of them might become kshatriyas. You know, in times of emergency, these things are there. But we need to, that's why Varnashram College is meant to train all the classes. Brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. Yeah. You can explain after the class. Any other question? Yes?
I belong to Shudra community.
You belong to Shudra community?
I come to ISKCON and...
Yeah, so now you are more than Shudra. Now you're more than Brahmana Prabhu. But to speak of Shudra. Anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness rises above these varnas, in that he is engaged in Krishna's service. So to the extent that you develop that consciousness of service, that what we call Krishna consciousness, so for the devotees, technically speaking, they are not Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. They are above that. But for the purpose of showing to society, we accept different positions, even within the system of Varnasrama, even as Vaishnavas. So therefore, that is the beauty of what our acharyas refer to as Daiva Varnasrama. See, Krishna explains about guna and karma. Guna and karma. For one who is not a devotee, his guna will be directly connected with the modes of material nature. Either the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, or mixture like that. And accordingly, according to these qualities, then one will execute the role of Brahmana Kshatriya, karma. One will take up a particular occupation. Now, that's the material scenario. If we look at the spiritual scenario, the same is there, guna and karma. But the guna will not be according to the modes of material nature, or will be less and less influenced by the modes of material nature, to the point of no longer being influenced by the modes of material nature. It will be spiritual guna, quality, spiritual quality. And the karma can be any of these four, but will not be based on the gunas. If someone has a natural ability to work with wood, then externally looking, from an external point of view, he'll be doing, let's say, activity of a shudra. But his guna will be spiritual. So therefore, we cannot judge simply externally. And ultimately, if the quality is spiritual, if the consciousness is spiritual, then whatever activity one is doing within Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, that becomes totally spiritualized. That becomes totally bhakti, isn't it? And anyone within any of these categories who takes up to Krishna consciousness, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, including Shudra, can become a pure devotee. Isn't it? So this is, yeah. Yes.
How I can recognize my own varna?
Yes. Question on varna?
How to recognize one varna?
How to recognize, yes.
Which varna belongs to?
Actually, this is nicely explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Sajana Toshani, one particular book that he writes, and he mentions that actually the varna is for men, not for women. Women already have their what is called Stri Dharma. Their dharma is to be primarily, this is a Vedic culture, an ideal wife and ideal mother. This is the general occupation, duty, responsibility of women in the Vedic culture. Modern day society thinks otherwise, naturally. So therefore, the varna is something that is generally determined by the local brahmanas in the village. When a young boy reaches Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that before the age of 15, when one becomes an adolescent, young adolescent, the senior brahmanas in the village, the elders, along with the parents, they will sit together to actually fix up the varna of that boy. And the first consideration will be in which family he has been born. If he has been born in a Brahmin family, in all likelihood, but not necessarily, but in all likelihood, he will be a Brahmana. Once the varna is fixed, then the education is determined. Because Brahmana will take up Gurukul education. Whereas a Shudra, he will take up apprenticeship. Because he doesn't have the inclination to study for a long time or deeply the subject matter that is there in the Shastra. So this is something that generally, now practically this is not followed. And that's why when we live in, as we are meant to live, in a village where Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes some very nice points actually, that one can more easily understand the varna of a young boy by observing his activities. And if that young boy is in a more natural, spontaneous way interacting with other young boys in his village. So therefore the association amongst peer within a community is very important, you know. So Prabhupada gives, there are other guidelines as well, including making an astrological chart for an individual one can read and understand. One, also by studying the family lineage, that is how we can understand the varna of an individual. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as well as Srila Prabhupada, explain how this is actually very, very important to establish the varna of an individual at this younger stage in life. And that is another important reason why these communities or village life is so important. Because when we step out of this more natural way of living, like in cities and whatnot, the whole situation becomes different, artificial. Yeah. We will close here for now. Jai Granth Rashi Bhagavatam Ki Jai.